read a passage of scripture tonight and talk about it. An unchanging God in a changing world. In Malachi, it says this, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. And Lord, I just ask you that you speak to our hearts. We'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Our world is changing, isn't it? I think of the church. The church is changing. Things are happening in churches all across America today. Heard a preacher not long back say the world was changing more than ever before in history. And I said, duh. You know, it don't take a genius to understand that things have changed. I don't know about you, but in my lifetime, I've seen things that I never thought I might see. Just think about the things, how they have changed since you were born. I remember growing up, we didn't have television. We didn't have telephone. We didn't have city water. But we had all those things now, don't we? And telephones, man, they have changed the way. I was just coming home the other day, and I thought, what did we do years ago when we didn't even have a telephone in a car? How in the world did people get a hold of you? Well, somebody said, well, you don't ever answer your phone on Sunday. I said, what phone? I know. I turn my phone off usually on Sunday. I want to give that day to the Lord and not answer the phone. I figure if it's important, you will see me at church, and I'll get word. But, you know, things have changed. Travel has changed. Man, just think about how we used to travel. I remember when we went to, it was a special trip where we lived to get to go to Tyler. I mean, if you went to Tyler once a year, that was something. It was about 45 miles away, and, you know, travel just wasn't that great, and we didn't wear our cars out, and cars didn't last very long anyhow. So we didn't go to Tyler about once a year, and that was towards Christmas time, and, man, I thought, how things have changed. And now we leave the here and go to Dallas, and you can be on the other side of the world by in the morning. Times are changing. Technology, electronics, the way we travel, and over we change. I don't have the dish anymore. You know, they always want to bring you a dish net. Is that it? Or the other one? I don't know what they are. But, you know, someone said now they offer 9,000 stations. I remember we just got one. Somebody said, you know, well, I was in junior high when we got our first television set back where we grew up, and we were really rednecks. We hung you know the old mattress springs that the coils in them? We hung that in a chinaberry tree. That was our antenna. That was really redneck, man. We was in the country. Nobody's going to see it out where we live. You didn't care. You were so far out in the sticks, you know. We had guineas for yard dogs, and that's about it. But we hung those things up in the tree. Me and my brother thought we'd pretty well on the way to having a career in television network when we hung that bed springs up in the tree and tied it up there and hooked the wires to it. And man, we got two channels then. Channel 7 and Tyler and Channel 59 in Lufkin. Man, we were on top of the world. We had black and white television, and it was good. But now they got 9,000 channels, and by the time you find a program to watch, it's over. You know? Can't make up your mind which one to watch. Social status and structure is changing, too. I heard the other day where, you know, women are going to get, and I think that's great, same amount of money per the hour as men get, you know. I didn't know they didn't get that, but I hear that they wasn't making as much in some of the positions, and they're passed a law where they can make the same amount as men. I heard that women are owning more and more of the companies in the world nowadays, and things like that change, you see. But in the middle of all our change, God says he's constant. He never changes. He's abiding. He never changes. He's the anchor of our soul, you see. He's that strong and mighty tower that we can hold on to. Everything else revolves around God. And he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Worship has become casual, as most people give their second best here in Malachi. The moral status and the law of God had changed, and they were offering God their second and third best in their worship. And I think, I think when we come to worship God, we ought to offer him our best. We ought to give God the same, more than what we give everything else. And yet sometimes we don't do that. But God was being disregarded in Malachi here, and neither the priest nor the people took seriously the approaching judgment. And God says, the only reason I haven't consumed you is I am unchanging. You see, the Lord warned his people that he had not changed, and in being his consistency and changelessness, he says, I haven't brought judgment upon you yet. The fact is that he had never broken any promise, and therefore he had not consumed them. And I thank God that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I thank God that he doesn't strike us dead today because our lack of worship. Brother Otis passed me a note this morning and said we had over 430-something people here in worship service, I believe it was. And that's not counting the nursery. So we had a good worship service this morning with over 400-something people. But where are they tonight? Don't you imagine it displeases God that his children don't love him enough? After all the blessings he has given us, you see, out of all the things that God does for us as a church, man, we had two precious little children come this morning giving their life to Christ. And as I heard that young man and these young men appear performing, I thought, praise God, what he's going to do in their life. Don't ever give that up. Keep on telling about Christ. Keep on worshiping Christ. Keep on singing more about Jesus, man. More about Jesus. You know, I want to know more and more about Jesus in my life. And because God does not change, there's at least four other things that do not change in the Christian life. One I want us to notice is the Christian faith does not change. The Christian faith. The book of Jude tells us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend to the faith. The word faith refers to the whole scope of God's doctrine without deletion or addition in the Word of God. Earnestly contend for the faith, the whole doctrine of God. The Bible says in Revelation of God was full and complete in Christ Jesus, and there was nothing to be added or to be taken away. Folks, we ought to watch out today, for a lot of people are adding a lot of things to the Word of God. A lot of people are taking a lot of things out of the Word of God. So we ought to watch and strive not to follow them or be led astray, but we ought to look at the complete Word of God. You know, I was thinking about the worship that we used to do. I remember going to church and staying pretty well all day long, worshiping God and getting there for Sunday morning and back early Sunday evening to training union and staying, and everybody going around and shaking their hands. And, you know, I believe we ought to do that today. We had two-week revivals and things like that, and prayer meetings on Wednesday night. Instead of coming to do a Bible study, we actually came, and, you know, the adults and the leaders, the men and the women, would get out on their hands and knees up at the altar and pray and read Scripture and pray. Nowadays, if you do that, most people say, hey, we need to go home if all we're going to do is read Scripture and pray. But what would God do, I wonder, if we as a church started praying like that, earnestly praying that He should change our lives? Should I believe what my father and grandfather believed? Yes, if I understand the book of Revelation right and correctly, all the modern changes that have taken place in society does not affect the eternal truth of God's Word. The God's Word is always there. The Bible says it's the living Word of God. And God calls sin, sin. I had a guy tell me one time, you know, preacher, there's black and there's white and then there's the gray area. And I said, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I don't remember seeing the gray area. My daddy told me it's either right or it's wrong. It's either off God or it's off the devil. What are you talking about, the gray area? And he said, well, you know, your daddy and him were pretty old-fashioned people, probably. And I thought, I said, man, if I had a hammer, I'd hit you in the head with it. You talking foolishness now. And you done started criticizing the old-time religion. The old-time gospel, if it was good enough for mama, it is good enough. And that's what they believed. You either had it right or you're wrong. It wasn't no gray area. And I thought, no wonder that our people in America, you know, are going on the wrong side so often and things are falling apart. You know, it's the same. Man, God's Word is the same. And the Bible tells us if we thirst for the Word, and I believe we're not thirsting for the Word today. I believe we need to go back. You know, that old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, my grandfather sang that, my father sang that, and I love singing that. I believe it's God's grace that saves us. And tomorrow it'll be God's grace through faith that saves you. And 20 years from now, if you're going to be saved, it's still by the grace of God through faith. It's not going to be a black and white or gray. It's God's unchanging world, or the Word. And folks, listen, we need to live in that. And he says that we need to earnestly contend for that Word, because people are trying their best today to change it. No wonder our churches are not being blessed. No wonder we're not having a revival. No wonder our members can't be found. Somebody said the other day, well, how many members we got? I said, we got about 1,400 on the roll. You can only find about 300 of them. Where are the rest of them? They're lost. You see, most of them got their name on the roll, but they don't have their name on the right roll. They've got it on the list at First Baptist Church, but they need it on God's list, you see? And that's about the way it goes in the average church. In this changing world, we try to learn how to accommodate other people, and we downgrade or water down the message of God. And the message of God can't be watered down. It's the same message that Jesus preached. And if we compromise there, we're losing our integrity. I won't ever compromise on the Word of God. What is the faith once delivered that we are to contend for? Well, it's this, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The Bible, this book, is not just a book. It's the only book of God. It's the living, true book of God. It's true in all parts. I've heard a lot of people say from the beginning to the maps in the end. Well, every soul will stand before God. That's a truth. Every priesthood, we're a priesthood of the believer. We have to preach those things. That the Holy Spirit, man, you know, in Baptist churches, we hate to talk about the Holy Spirit sometimes. We're afraid it'd get loose. I don't think it's going to get loose in the Baptist church. I think we need to turn him loose in the Baptist church. Somebody says, you got to worry about them people raising their hand. I don't think so. I don't really think we have to worry about getting too excited in a Baptist church unless there's a fire. You know, if the alarm goes off up here, then we get excited. But God wants us. We could use a little bit more emotion. You know, we could use a little more Holy Spirit in our life telling us that we can get excited. And the church is the instrument for the word to get out there. Folks, if we don't tell them, they won't get told. And Christ is returning one day. Our time is short. I really think it's getting shorter all the time, folks. And God never changes, neither does the Christian faith. We are to contend for the faith that's once delivered. If I understand it right, we need to do that today. The time is short, folks. And then the Christian faith never changes. Then the moral precepts do not change. Now, what are you talking about, the moral precepts? Folks, we need to accept the responsibility for the way our churches go. We want to blame everybody else for the mistakes, but it really comes back to the preachers. It comes back to the members. I just wonder what's wrong with our people today when we don't tell others about Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I look for opportunities to share the gospel. I look for people. I'll ask some people. I'll say some things. I will sing a song just to get them to say, hey, I wish you would quit. And in doing that, I may be able to witness to them. But we've become masters today of making sin look better. Have you ever thought about it? In our churches, we make sin look better. I'll say somebody's committing adultery. They say, preacher, don't say that today. It's just they had an affair. It's adultery. That's what the Bible says. Oh, you don't believe in drinking either, no? I don't believe in drinking. Well, preacher, he was drunk the other night, but he just got a disease problem. It's just me make it all of, you know, in pornography. Well, that's an art today. Oh, I tell you what, when Baylor, y'all like Baylor? I like Baylor. Baylor's a good school, but I guess. But one time they told me they was offering art down there, and they was going to have nude models. And I said, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. In a Christian school? I don't think so. Homosexually, that's just an alternate lifestyle, they tell you today. But listen, God says it's sin. And folks, that's what it is. But in our churches today, we don't want to talk about it. You see, we want to cover it up. We want to, man, I have people telling me that if the church will take those people in and love them, well, I love them, but I'm not going to take them in as a part of the bride of Christ. You see? But you don't want to add them to your church roll? No, I don't. Not until they repent, turn their life around. But in our world, you know, we're seeking to make everything look all right. And God says, no, my word is not changing. I have not changed. You know, I got tickled. Ron and I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee a few years ago to a conference up there. We were going to have a good time and go up there, and they were singing and gospel singing. I love gospel singing. One day while we was off there, and we went to the museum there, and, you know, I was walking through that museum, and they had a turtle in a box of water, you know, and a thing of water. It was an aquarium, and, man, I was looking at that turtle, and I said, you know how you shoot them off of logs? I was just being honest. That woman, I thought she was going to have a conniption fit. What do you mean shooting a turtle? Did you know this turtle was protected? I said, you better not let him cross the Texas state line. You know what? It's so sad that we would protect a turtle and yet we would abort babies. What is the world coming to, you see? Now, if that turtle is rare, then she needs to keep him there. But it's so a shame that we cry about things like that, and yet we don't cry out about all the babies that are being aborted. In 50 years of movies, just think where they've come to. We've come from silent movies to unspeakable movies today. And folks, it's a shame that what our kids go and see and what adults that call themselves Christians go and see. In the day of talk shows, I was watching one the other day. You know, sometimes you go home and you turn on the television. Well, we leave it on for our dog. I might have to watch him. He's kind of smarter than, Mr. Phil, I think, sometimes. What is he, Dr. Phil? I don't know what he's a doctor of, but, you know, I was watching a show, and it was of a dysfunctional family talking to a dysfunctional host about their miserable lives. And I watched that just for a moment, and my dog was depressed. Folks, I tell you what, that'll make you commit suicide if you watch that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to watch that. I turned it to something else. I turned it over, I think, to that MeTV. That's where Andy Griffin and all those shows. Because I've got a good dog, and I want to keep him that way. I think they was telling us that 50% of the marriages end in divorce. You know what that tells me? 50% of marriages end in divorce. Odds are when that couple gets married, their marriage will end before their car warranty runs out. Now think about it. That's sad, isn't it? They end in divorce today, and let me tell you something. It's not the world out there. It's in the churches, too. In America, we must have a rebirth of morality. And God's saying, you know, that's what I need. I need the church to turn around. He's talking to his people. He's talking to them who are offering bad sacrifices. And their preaching is narrow. And they're not calling sin what it really is. We need preachers who will call sin what it is. Right is right. And if God says no, that's what it is. It's no. And then, not only that, personal accountability does not change. We attempt to evade accountability, don't we? I hear all the time, well, you know, it's not his fault that he did that because he was raised this way. Someone was talking about one of the guys that had shot a bunch of the people, innocent people, and killed them. And they were trying to say, well, you know, society made him that way. Well, those dysfunctional shows he's watching probably made him that way. But no, you make your own choices, folks. You make your own choices. And I tell our children and I tell our youth, listen, it doesn't matter how you grow up. Your mom and dad, when you got to make some choices of your own, and you better make them according to God's word. What you do with your life will affect you for all your life. You see? Nobody told me. My father and mother raised me in a Christian home, but nobody told me, you know, a lot of the things I made decisions about. I just knew that right was right. And if I wanted to live a long, happy life, I needed to do what the Bible said. You know, I didn't go out and I love to hunt. Man, I'm a hunter. I love guns. And everybody always said, well, guns kill people. Listen, My guns have never killed nobody. You see, it's people that do that, that they make the wrong decisions in life. They grew up in the wrong way, and they made the wrong decisions. Well, we want everything to be everybody else's fault. Ever since Adam and Eve, everybody wants to blame everybody else. But we need to take accountability for our own lives and say, God, you come into my life. You let me make the right choices in life. The Bible says, listen, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You are responsible. You're responsible. The Bible tells me it's appointed that a man wants to die. Let me tell you something. You can go out there and you can party down and you can have a heyday, but there's a payday coming. We've got to pay the price. And the Bible tells me one day we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Man, I'd hate to stand before him lost, but a lot of people will. Well, and then the last thing I want to say about change is our ultimate hope does not change. Where is your hope today? Where's your hope? I hope it's not in the politicians in Washington, and I pray for them. I hope it's not in the politicians of this town, and I pray for them. I hope it's not in me. I want you to pray for me. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And folks, that's where our hope must be. It can't be in education. It can't be in politics. It must be in Jesus Christ. You see? It's got to be in Jesus Christ. Our primary concern today is the schools. Our schools have not become education of higher learning, but in a lot of them it's become battle zones. And I honestly believe when we took God out, brother, that set the stage for a disaster. When we come in on in the morning, you know, we had Christian scripture on the board. We had a good old Christian lady. You could go up and ask her to pray for you. She'd pray for you. She'd have prayer and before the classes start. You know, I never thought about the things that go on today. What's our hope? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:13 says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwell righteousness. Folks, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just prior to what he's talking about in Hebrews 13, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is always with us. And friend, that's not a promise. That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. God is with us. I have his presence when I get up in the morning and I pray and ask him to come. Just before we sing, I was sitting there and said, God, I don't know what you got in store for me, but I want you to speak through me tonight. I can't do it. Young people said they couldn't sing without God. That's the way it is, folks. We can't do anything without God. We need his presence in our life. We need his peace in our life. And we can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Man, I love that scripture. We have stability in our life when we have God as our shepherd. We have stability in our life where we can walk in faith and trust him, knowing that he goes with us hand in hand. In Hosea 14:5, I'll close with this. He says, I will be like the dew to Israel. Where does dew come from? It doesn't fall from the sky. It doesn't rise from the earth. You see, dew is water vapor that condenses on a cool place. And the conditions have to be just right for dew to form. God says, I will be like the dew to Israel. God says, I will appear to you, O Israel. And you can put that to the church today. I will appear to the church today when the conditions are right. And you know, God will appear in our lives, in our churches, and our churches will be blessed, like God says, when the conditions are right. And he says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. That's the condition. His people getting right. And the glory of God and the power of God will come back to the church because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your blessing. I thank you, Lord, that you are alive. You are well. Lord, you're waiting on your people to get their lives right. And Lord, as a church, as a pastor, Lord, I pray that we'll live our lives pleasing to you, that you will just fill us with your presence. If there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they'll come simply by faith and trust you as Lord and Savior in their life. If there's a person that's saved here and their lives are not right with God, I pray that they'll come and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, here's my life. Take it. Use it. I confess to you that I can't do anything without you. And I give you praise for it, Lord, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand?